Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:07 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 8th. Well, I thought I'd kick off today and look at the Russell, because it pulled back sharply yesterday and failed to bounce in here today and closed pretty much on the low of the day, but not on a particularly volatile day. But unless it can bounce soon, then this is looking like a failed upside break. The dynamic of the failure is larger than the dynamic of the breakout. That would hold out the prospect of a reversion back down towards the lower side of the range, which is around 1500. So that is certainly the risk. And of course, if it comes back towards 1500, well, I think it's at that point that people will then start to think about the region of whether it is going to be able to push back up above the trend mean. So there's a lot to play for here, because it has underperformed. It's much more domestically oriented in terms of big indices that people watch with regard to Wall Street. When, for example, we compare that performance to the S&P 500, well, the S&P 500 had got all the way up to a new high. That was last week. Now it is pulling back, and the size of the pullback is larger than the dynamic of the breakout. That's also got to figure into people's way of thinking. The lower side of this range is a lot further down than for the Russell 2000, so this is still looking like a reasonably equal-sized reaction in terms of this move that we've had. Generally speaking, these reactions have been relatively short-lived. They've been in the region of about 100 points. This reaction to date is not quite 100 points. So what this is, I think, really starting to suggest is that people are on hiatus. They're not willing to take big risks, either by loading up on short positions or on long positions ahead of what the negotiations starting between China and the USA on Thursday and Friday, whether the USA is then effectively going to follow through on their threat to raise tariffs on Friday. Well, that's also an uncertainty. I think it is quite likely that they're going to go ahead and do that, because China has got some face-saving to do and to show that they're not going to be swayed by the imposition of tariffs. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have a deal further down the line, but what it does suggest is that a goalpost has been moved further away. It's going to take a little bit of additional time in order to get there. And what that suggests is that having had what I think can only be considered a spectacular rally from the beginning of this year, from deeply oversold territory back to an overbought condition and retesting the previous peaks, we're due some consolidation, and I think we're getting the consolidation. As long as it is limited to a reversion to the mean, even if we get a reaction of more than 100 points, there is still the scope that we're going to still see that this is a reversion to the mean. We could get a multi-month pause. By the time we get through the summer, then it's going to be at that point that the Federal Reserve will have ended its quantitative tightening program. And that is going to be a rather significant event. What I think is particularly important to pay attention to is the dollar. And the dollar has not been rallying over the course of the last four sessions. The most important thing it's done recently is pull back from that 98 region. Everybody knows that the Federal Reserve is not going to be in a hurry to raise rates, but that they're going to end their quantitative tightening program in September. And they are due to taper it in June. So that removes a tailwind from the dollar. It doesn't necessarily mean that other currencies have significant tailwinds behind them, but it does remove a tailwind from the dollar, and it suggests that its ability to continue to rally in a dynamic manner will be inhibited. Well, I don't think it's fair then to compare the dollar to the euro, considering that the eurozone really does have some significant challenges. But when we look at other currencies, most particularly the Brazilian real, then that was a significant move that we've had in here today. This is the third upward dynamic for the real from that four level in the space of 6 weeks, and it suggests that there is some demand coming back in for the currency in the region of that psychological level. Four has been an area of support, although sporadically so, for the real since at least 2015. When we look then at the Bovespa index, then it rallied rather impressively over the last 2 days from the lows. This has looked like just another consolidation within what is still really quite a consistent advance, and this has been a reversionary move over the course of the last 4 or 5 months that I think has been held up by the relative weakness of the currency. Well, if the real can rally, then that is going to start to attract foreign investors back into the Brazilian market. Think it's also worth keeping an eye on the rand. It's right in the region of this 14 and a half area, and that's been a region of support over the course of the last few months. There was some support there too back in 2017 and in 2016. The big question is whether it can rally through the 14 area and break the dollar's dominance. There has been a pretty lengthy period of time where the dollar has been trading above the trend mean, so we're going to have to see more dynamic moves in order to really demonstrate that we're back in a rand-dominated environment. Of course, there is also an election going on in South Africa, and there are questions about just how effective Ramaphosa is going to be in maintaining the ANC's majority. There, he certainly has more competition on this occasion than other ANC leaders have had previously, so there is some uncertainty there. When we look at the Johannesburg All Share, it was down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. Well, that is at least in part because of the weakness we're getting in the resources sector, because of the trade wars, because of the uncertainty that still stands over the Chinese economy. When we look at the Chinese banking sector, it was also down in a dynamic manner in here today. Now, this continues to look like a reversion back to the mean, and it has still got some room in which to consolidate, but I think it is quite likely to find support in the region of this 14,000 level, not least because China really does have to start extending credit out into the wider market. The default rate is rising. The way I define that is that it's a known unknowable, to paraphrase Donald Rumsfeld, because nobody knows and nobody can know what the natural default rate for the corporate bond market is in China, when they've only allowed defaults for the last couple of years, and the number of defaults they're allowing has been increasing in, well, it's been increasing in triple-digit percentages over the course of the last couple of years. So far this year, it's triple the event or the number that we had last year. But even at a default rate of just under 2%, it's still considerably below what we would think of as a crisis default rate when we think about what we expect from, say, the US market. A default rate of about 8% in the worst case scenario is about as bad as it gets. But a default rate of 8% in China would represent $200 billion worth of defaults, or perhaps a little less than that, but that would be more significant. And even then, it's still manageable, provided they can rescue the rest of the economy. But that also means that there's got to be liquidity provision. So That is what we're starting to see. We're starting to see more money being made available to the banking sector to lend to the private sector. That does suggest that they will do what is necessary in order to make liquidity available. So I do think it's likely we're going to see that region of the trend mean hold. Of course, the Chinese stock market pulled back very sharply when the trade war started, and it is much more influenced by the trade war than is Wall Street. But the A-share market right now is in the region of the trend mean. It has steadied over the last couple of days. It's going to have to continue to steady if the medium-term recovery scenario is to remain credible. Now, if we look at some of the individual commodities, then copper prices are just about holding on in here. We had, by the time the market closed on Monday, it didn't quite close at the region of the high of the day, so we had an outside day rather than an upside key reversal. But more important than that is we have not had follow through on the upside. And the key to the key is size, but upside follow through confirms the signal. So we haven't yet had a confirmationary upward dynamic on the back of that outside day 2 days ago. We are in an area where we can anticipate some support starting to come back in, but it has not yet started to come back in. Then, when we look at the oil price, well, and sorry, I didn't press the right button there. The Brent crude price has been stable around the $70 area. As long as the reaction is limited to approximately this $6.5 to $7 area, then it's reasonably consistent. But it is going to have to hold the low put in 3 days ago. So that's we are at the sort of do or die moment here as the oil price tests the region of the trend mean. There was also, I think, a rather interesting statistic in here today, and it was that the UK has gone a week without using coal. And the reason they've been able to do that is because they have been investing in wind, and instead of using coal for base load, they're using gas. Well, the UK is not self-sufficient in gas. Henry Hub prices are stabilizing around the $2.50 area, and $2.50 represents the lower side of the range that's persisted for the last 3 years. When we look at UK gas, it has collapsed in price over the course of the last few months, and it is also just beginning to stabilize at the lower side of its range, and we started to see some demand coming back in here today. Well, if the UK is no longer using coal and has got a clear intention to phase it out, then they are going to be using more natural gas. Just because you put up more wind turbines does not mean that they produce electricity when the wind is not blowing. So base load has got to be sustained, and natural gas is going to be the way that that is done. Well, considering just how low the price is, it really does suggest that there's not much more bad news that can be squeezed out of it. Thought it was also interesting that coffee prices are still really quite low. We are potentially at a point where we could start to see a higher reaction low. The ability of the real to rally from here is going to be, I think, a rather significant arbiter of whether we're going to see a low in the Arabica price. Brazil is by far the largest producer. The weakness of the real has made its exports more competitive. That's been particularly difficult for Central American producers, which is at least part of the reason why you have so many people turning up on the border with the USA. If the real starts to strengthen, then that could be a catalyst for a turnaround in the Arabica price. So I do think this market is also starting to get a bit more interesting. Got a very interesting email from a longtime subscriber, and Pascal Morin is very much or is works with Ian Little, and I do recommend his email to you. The three of us have been having a discussion about global liquidity in the comment of the day over the last 3 days. So I think that's it's worth highlighting. What Pascal was highlighting in here today is that the velocity of money does appear to have stabilized. Now, the bigger question is whether it can break its downtrend. If it can push back above 1.5, then that would be a really quite significant advance. Now, what's particularly interesting is that it didn't really start to move higher until the beginning of 2018. And when we look at the size of the Fed's balance sheet, it didn't really start to contract until the beginning of 2018. Now, when we multiply the velocity of money by the supply of money, we get a straight line. And that's really simple. The Federal Reserve ensures that there is enough of money in the system to promote growth. If the velocity of money goes down, they flood the market with liquidity. That's not going to have an inflationary outcome unless the velocity of money picks up and they don't withdraw it. As soon as velocity of money started to pick up, the Federal Reserve started reducing its balance sheet. There, it's almost a it's 1 + 1 = 2 type of scenario. This is central banking 101. If they had not started to reduce the size of their balance sheet and withdraw some of the money supply from the market when velocity of money picked up, potentially in response to the fiscal stimulus, then that would have had a clearly inflationary outcome. Therefore, if they want to create inflation, it's really quite simple. Velocity of money starts to pick up and they do not remove that M2 from the market, then you're going to get inflation. There is absolutely no chance that that is not going to happen. Of course, if velocity of money picks up and they are too aggressive in withdrawing liquidity from the market, well, then that is going to put pressure on the liquidity-fueled bull market that has persisted for the last decade. That is effectively how bubbles burst. I think that if we think about those sorts of conditions, that's a more of a medium to longer term consideration. The short term consideration is that we are in a period of consolidation. We may yet have the bubble. We kind of know how bubbles burst, but we may yet get the bubble because government bond yields are still really quite low. And that is, I think, a significant factor. Now, the yield reversed its contraction in here today, and what that's suggesting is that we're not quite yet ready to push lower. It does have some work to do, though, in order to break the downtrend. We're at least going to have to see it push back above the trend mean in order to signal that we're back in a supply-dominated environment for treasuries. But I think the much bigger conclusion here is that stock markets are pausing, and the reason is because of the trade war. Then gold in here today was also quite interesting. It did not quite, well, it finished out the day in negative territory. In early trading, it had been pushing up out of this short-term range. It wasn't really quite able to hold it. That was very much tied to the reversal in the outlook for the bond markets, with the rally in bonds petering out, then the rally in gold also petered out. Well, what that is, I think, beginning to suggest is that people aren't really looking for more than a consolidation in the stock market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.